First of all, I encourage everyone to read and digest the bulletins as usual, but especially the last three or so, which should be all stapled together. It's not enough just to read through, whether it's a bulletin or anything else spiritual, and then set it aside. We need to take the time to absorb it and to see what the author, whoever it may be, is saying to me, myself, not to my neighbor, but to me. How does it apply to me? And unless I apply it to myself, I don't care if I read every book in the world that's ever been written, I will gain nothing. In fact, I will be accused of wasting time. Also, I encourage you to pay attention to the various notes on the back, because we have several things and events coming up in the future that you may be interested in and may have to plan ahead for, and also some slight changes in schedule from time to time. This morning, I'm not going to preach a sermon as such, because we have a double baptism after Mass, and yet there are a couple of points I want to bring up. The first one is concerning confessions that not everybody is aware of. Not that there's ever been a problem with it, but this for educational purposes. In our unideal situation here and sometimes in other places, even in Coleman sometimes, where there is a chance of the confession being overheard, anyone, layperson or whoever, that overhears another's confession is bound under the same seal of secrecy as the priest himself is. You would be committing a serious sin if you were to repeat what you heard in someone else's confession. And it would be even a greater serious sin to deliberately overhear. If you're in a situation where you can't help but overhear someone, simply let it go in one ear and out the other and forget about it as best you can. Because sometimes, for one reason or another, the person may be hard of hearing and the priest may have to raise his voice, or the person may not realize they're over loud, or whatever. And you cannot use that information against that person either, without committing grave sin. And the second point I wish to mention is concerning baptism. Again, here in this chapel and in other places, we're not in an ideal situation. We're not in a proper church, and we're not able to observe the ceremony in all the solemnity it is due and it used to be observed in. And yet, that does not excuse us from giving it what solemnity and seriousness that we can. I'm not saying that everyone must stay for any baptism we have. That is not so. Some of us have to leave and be on our way, so be it. But those who can are welcome and encouraged to stay. Your prayers are always asked for the ones being baptized. And I also encourage that those who stay and may have some business to discuss with others, to do so outside, if it's good weather. If it's bad weather, then very quietly somewhere inside. But being aware of what is going on over in this corner. Because things have gotten so bad and so out of hand, we have a tendency to take things for granted. Like these little ceremonies that we have to have on the side without proper solemnity. We tend to take them for granted and, oh, another baptism. How wonderful. How boring. And yet, let us stop and think of what is actually happening during that baptism. A soul who is otherwise barred from heaven is having the gates of heaven open to them at that moment. So let us ponder these things. And I'm going to cut it short now because I also have a few words to say to the new parents, because they are new parents. This is the first time for them. And that will take a few minutes also. So I don't want to keep too many people waiting who maybe have to leave. So I will give you all my blessing. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Descendit super vos et manius semper. Amen. And please pray for all of us, everyone here, and all Catholics who are struggling to hang on to the truth.